We are approaching Holy Week. The liturgy is presenting before us more and more these themes of light versus darkness, righteousness versus sin, and life versus death, all of which, of course, will be culminating in the Paschal mystery of Jesus Christ. Today's first reading from the book of Daniel, we really see a remarkable story of salvation for Susanna at the hands of the prophet Daniel. But it's also for us a tremendous lesson to learn about the treachery and the process of sin when we look at the lives of the two elders and their thoughts and actions. Because it really is something for us to learn how to be able to stop sin before it takes root in our lives. The very first step that we can see with respect to sin in the lives of these two elders, these two judges, is that it all begins with a thought. They note the beauty of Susanna, and of course at this point there is nothing wrong with that. Then they go on and presumably must have had some kind of lustful thought pop into their head. And here too now we would call this really a temptation. And it isn't until they take this temptation, this thought which pops in their head, that they begin to willfully think about it and dwell on it, that sin begins to enter into their thoughts. And so this is really the origin and beginning of their treachery. It is a thought in their mind, a willful thought of lust towards Susanna. The second step is one which we can discern in that first reading as well, which is not explicitly told to us, but that is, at some point they must have communicated their sinful thoughts to one another. This is a very notable step because it signifies that they're taking what had been heretofore in their minds and now they're finding a way to communicate it exteriorly. In a way, they're looking for support to say, hey, don't you think the same thing? Don't you desire the same things? They're basically looking for support and encouragement in their sinful thoughts. They're looking for someone to be complicit in their sinful thoughts. And it also becomes a sign of a kind of deadening of their conscience. In other words, their sinful thoughts don't disturb them or upset them, and therefore they are willing to communicate them outwardly, at least with another person. And this too is a very dangerous step. The third step that we can see in this journey toward malicious sin is that together they begin to plot how they can act on their sinful actions. Now the thoughts are going to be transferred into saying, how can we bring this into being? How can we hatch a plot which we can then execute in order to satisfy our sinful desires? And once again here we can see they are steadily progressing down the line, but it's only at this point that they actually begin to act. And now it is that they are far enough down the path of corruption that they are ready to act on their evil desires. Now, interestingly enough, had they been able to stop at step number 3, things still could have been salvageable. And they could have snapped out of it and said, let's get rid of these wicked thoughts and convert and go down a different road. But once they willfully act, it is going to set up a chain of events that are going to ensue with very grave consequences. And this brings us to the fifth step, which is going to be the cover-up. And here we're going to see a very important lesson that ultimately sin wants to beget more sin. They think sinfully, they plot sinfully, they communicate sinfully, they act sinfully, and now what they're going to need to do is find a way to cover up their actions. And this is going to lead them ultimately to defame Susanna, to slander her, to lie, and even to be willing to commit murder, willing to watch her go to her sentence of death, all at the hands of their treacherous lie. And finally, what we're going to see in this story from the two judges and Susanna and the prophet Daniel is ultimately the consequences of sin. The wages of sin and treachery are ultimately death. And this is a repeated lesson which is communicated throughout the Old Testament, that the result of sin is always going to be an end result of misery and ultimately a result of death, as we see with the two elders. Of course, now we believe and know that doesn't mean that one will be struck dead physically when they commit a mortal sin. But mortal sin is called mortal because it is a kind of death of the soul and a death of our life of communion with God. The elders really then show us kind of the terrifying process and reality of sin. It all begins with a thought in the mind, and from there escalates toward an action, and there escalates toward a cover-up and deceit, and winds up weaving a very tangled web of maliciousness and wickedness that truly ensnares the person. My brothers and sisters, for us it is a great reminder that when we are encountered with a temptation or a thought, to try to cast it aside. But certainly, if we have thoughts which we know are immoral or improper, that ultimately we would strive with all our heart to move away from there as quickly as possible. Because the terrifying story of the elders is ultimately that what begins as being rather seemingly harmless or inconspicuous very quickly goes down a slippery slope toward an incredibly grave result. In today's gospel, we see the story of the woman who is caught in adultery, which is really a story that shows that Jesus came to rewrite the story of sin and death into a story of redemption and life. It's a reminder that no matter where we are on the steps of sin, the correct action to always take is going to be one of repentance and to ask for forgiveness and then to go and sin no more, as what Jesus tells the woman. Jesus frees the woman from the guilt of her sin and ultimately allows her to go forward in her life in this newfound freedom. My brothers and sisters, as we go forward on this Monday of the fifth week of Lent, let us ask God for the grace that we would truly strive to root out all aspects of sin in our life, even the small ones which perhaps don't seem to be particularly grave or severe to us, knowing that they can become gateways to greater sins down the road. And if we have sinned, let us ask God for the grace of repentance, that we know that Jesus came to rewrite the story of sin and death. He welcomes us to repent. He welcomes us to receive his mercy and forgiveness, and in that way to move forward, to go and sin no more, and to share in the glory which the Lord has awaiting for us. Amen.